Hello and welcome to the Transcending CRM Podcast, a show where we explore how the Salesforce ecosystem has impacted the career growth of fellow trailblazers and the businesses that have leveraged dynamic growth on the platform. This podcast is brought to you by Silverline. Silverline is a Salesforce digital transformation consultancy headquartered in New York City, specializing in financial services, media and entertainment, and the healthcare industries. I'm your host, Elliot Spence, Principal Consultant at Silverline, along with my co-host, JP Owens, Managing Director of Banking and Lending at Silverline. JP, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Elliot. Glad we could finally get Mark scheduled. I feel like we had a couple of false starts here.
We did. My mic is finally working. I don't know what happened to it. We tried to log in the other day and it was very haywire, but we are finally here. And as JP said, we have a very special guest with us today. We are joined by Mark Tossel. Mark is a lead solution engineer with Salesforce focusing on CRMA. He is also a Golden Hoodie honoree and a freelance writer from Salesforce Ben. He is a mechanical engineer by profession turned Salesforce junkie that is passionate about solving problems with data. While he is a resident of Australia, Mark is a prolific writer and speaker and has spoken over 4,000 times in 10 different countries, 43 states in the United States, and also recently released his first book, which we'll be talking about today. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
No, we're excited to get into the discussion with you. So, you know, while we get started here, tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got started on the platform.
Yeah, I have a very convoluted journey. I think we talk a lot about accidental admins in the ecosystem, and that certainly would apply to me. So I began life vocationally as a mechanical engineer. I worked for Procter & Gamble for 2 years as a project engineer and honestly hated it. It wasn't a great job. It wasn't a great environment. So did a 180-degree shift, flew to the Chicago area, studied theology, and was in church ministry for 20 years. And unfortunately, during that time, pretty much my whole adult life had struggled with mental health. And as a result, I had a breakdown. That was about 8 years ago now, and would have been in my mid to late 40s, and ended up unemployed, really bad situation financially, mentally. It was just super tough time for our family. And we have a special needs son. So my wife is a full-time carer for him. So I'm the primary breadwinner. And then a friend of mine with a wealth management business said, hey, we're looking to get Salesforce. It's a CRM. We need someone to build that for us. Is that something you think you could do? And I said, yeah, sure. And then got off the phone and literally Googled CRM, Googled Salesforce. No idea what they were. And that was the start of my journey. That was actually bang on 7 years ago. That was June of 2016. Yeah, so implemented Financial Services Cloud when it was very new. We were one of the first organizations in Australia to implement FSC and had a great relationship with the product team as a result and the solution engineering team. And then implemented Pardot marketing automation, implemented Einstein Analytics, which had just rebranded from Wave to Einstein, which became Tableau CRM, which became CRM Analytics, just because we love changing names around here. And when I hit the analytics space and the AI space, that's where I really found my passion. Went from there to co-founding and co-running a partner business, and I've been here at Salesforce and Tableau for 18 months.
That's awesome. A couple of things that jumped out to me there. I didn't realize you started in June of 2016. So we started on the platform right around the same time. I know I was mid to late 2016 is where I had officially got my start, and it was the same thing, implementing a project at a bank where we're moving from Sales Cloud to FSC and, you know, really expanding the users on the system. The other thing we've talked about this a little bit before, your time at P&G. So you came to Cincinnati a few times, didn't you?
I actually did not end up at Cincinnati. I've been to Ohio for ministry my previous career. With Procter & Gamble, the funny thing is that I told them I didn't want to travel for the first year. And then 1 month in, they sent me to Japan for 4 months.
That's where, P&G obviously based and headquartered here in Cincinnati. So that's where me and JP are. I didn't know if you'd been here before. And I was like, oh man, we may have crossed paths at some point. But back to Salesforce, what sparked your passion for the platform and the growth that you've had? Because, since 2016, you've obviously experienced tremendous growth, and you know, you're extremely well known on the platform. So what drove that passion for it and the growth that you've had?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So because I don't come from a traditional IT background, for example, anyone listening to this will get a kick out of the fact that the last time I took an actual class in coding, it was Fortran. So that'll tell you how long ago since I studied computer science. We did a little bit of computer science back then in mechanical engineering at university. So I don't have a background at all in code. And when I started working on the platform, I just got super excited about what you could build with clicks, not code. For example, Process Builder was my go-to back then for process automation. And, you know, as an engineer, I love analyzing process, automation, efficiency, et cetera. So we mapped and built about 40 different processes within that wealth management business on the platform. And then the ability to dive into those processes, to look at the data and understand the bottlenecks and be able to analyze and tweak and improve business processes, to be able to build marketing automation, to be able to build advanced analytics without SQL, for example, all of that really just really enabled me as someone who's always loved technology. And I have a knack for learning it, but I just don't have that code background. I did learn some JSON and SQL and SQL and a little bit of Python, you know, here and there. But primarily, everything I've done has been without code, and even Tableau. Like compared to some other BI platforms, you know, you don't need to learn any coding language to build pretty awesome stuff in Tableau. So that's probably the big thing for me.
And Mark, you've seen tremendous growth on the platform. What has brought you the biggest sense of accomplishment, and why?
Yeah, there's probably three points to that answer, I would suggest. From a vocational perspective, the sense of satisfaction that I've gained from learning and building and implementing technology, first of all, as a business analyst, and then as a consultant, just a ton of real satisfaction from succeeding in that, the certifications, but more so actually building in a real business environment and seeing the impact of that. But then there's also two answers that are much more personal. As I mentioned earlier, our family situation was incredibly tough when I began. To not exaggerate, we were on the edge of being evicted from our rental property that we were renting. We were months behind on bills, maxed out in debt. And to see that completely turn around is just been incredibly exciting and rewarding for us as a family. And then I love inspiring people. I love telling my story to encourage others who are on a journey. And you know, what I've seen in the ecosystem of people that have taken just something from my journey and my struggles and my growth and used it to inspire them, that's been just amazing. One example was I had someone reach out to me through LinkedIn, and he'd read my story online, and he said, oh, I've been a rabbi for many years. He was in his late 40s. He was no longer able to continue in that role. And he turned to, heard my story and turned to technology and became a Salesforce admin and was loving it. That kind of result, you know, when you feel like you're making a difference in people's lives and you're helping people, you know, what you're doing is contributing in some way to other people's growth and success, that's gold. I just get a real kick out of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you've made an incredible impact to the ecosystem from everything from your personal journey to some of the things you've accomplished. But a large part of your focus and background has been Wave or Einstein Analytics or Tableau CRM or CRMA. I think I said them in the right order. What is the biggest challenge that the organizations you've worked with, either in your consulting role or just as you were getting kind of started in the ecosystem or even now, what's the biggest challenge organizations are facing when they're trying to implement CRMA?
Yeah, I would suggest two factors there. Number one, just finding skilled resources, whether that's in the consulting space, whether that's trying to hire someone or even hiring someone with the aptitude and the desire to learn CRM analytics that then does so successfully within a reasonable time frame. CRM Analytics is different. It isn't anything like Salesforce as far as building it. You do have to understand Salesforce to build it, but it's very different in terms of the user interface, what I like to call the plumbing in the back end and understanding the data pipeline, et cetera. It's been a challenge ever since I've worked with it, and I've worked with it now getting close to 7 years. It's always been difficult to find really skilled individuals that can build something of value and engage in that iterative process that we encounter in business intelligence. I would also say, and a lot of people I don't think focus on this, and I think they should, the other challenge is not so much specific exactly to CRMA, but more to business intelligence work as a whole. And that is, and even Salesforce admins really, you have to be able to bridge the gap between technology and business. So there's a lot of people that I think are quite skilled at, maybe they're building Lightning Web components or Apex triggers and classes, and maybe building SQL queries for databases, et cetera. But they don't get business. They don't know the right questions to ask. They don't have perhaps the what we often generically call soft skills, or probably more specifically, communication skills, problem-solving skills, the ability to understand, you know, root cause analysis, things of that nature, and therefore be able to communicate both with business and with data or IT people to solve problems. On the other side, there are people that get business and are very accomplished in that space, but don't have enough of an understanding of the technology to realize what can be done, to understand the limitations, to realize that when someone comes and says to them, hey, this functionality that you want to build, it's actually going to take 3 months and it's about 200 hours work, to realize why that takes that long, to be able to troubleshoot, to be able to give intelligent feedback on the technology. I found that that is as much a limitation as the actual hands-on technology skills. And the strange thing is, there's tons of training out there for the technology. I don't necessarily, personally haven't seen a lot of instruction around that second aspect, which it's probably harder to learn it and probably more critical.
Yeah, you were talking about a lot of things that I really like there, and you know, like the soft skills, you know, that people, you know, really need to have. And, you know, that's something that I've really started to identify and also, you know, work on as much as I can with, you know, working with different clients. And it kind of leads into the next question I had. And a lot of people get really nervous when they're jumping in with a new Salesforce product, such as CRMA. I've been spending myself a lot of time recently training up on it, messing around with it in different trial orgs and things like that. But for the people out there that are getting nervous or nervous about, you know, jumping into a new product such as CRMA, what advice do you give, you know, can you tell them to give them some comfort? Or, you know, what if they wanted to get hands-on and do some CRMA training to see if it's a good solution for them?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Elliot. When I was a new Salesforce admin, probably about 6 months into my journey, and we hit a wall with reports and dashboards. We wanted to perform some fairly complex analysis. I was introduced to, again, what was Einstein Analytics and is now CRM Analytics. And it was really, honestly, at first, both exciting and overwhelming because it is so different to Salesforce and required some different skill sets. I was very fortunate in that I was able to take some time away from my main Salesforce admin duties and focus on the analytics. Several pointers around overcoming the nerves. Number one, if I did it, then they can do it. I mean, I started this journey not at 28 or 38, but at 48. And, you know, really mostly was self-learning, self-taught. And, you know, the community really rallied around me, was incredibly helpful. There's a lot of resources out there for learning, but sometimes that's actually overwhelming. It's like, where do I start? So obviously, you know, you've got tons of great content in Trailhead. I published a book on CRM Analytics, which is out there. There's some great YouTube content. And I believe we're going to share some links post-call with people that they can use. One recommendation would be, I'm not sure of the timing or location of these, but Salesforce offers in-person and virtual boot camps. And I attended my first boot camp. It was 3 days back then. I think it's two now. And this was way back. I think it was beginning of 2017. And the ability to be in a room with a group of people that are all on that same learning journey with an instructor who not only was expert in the platform, but also really excited about you learning and was there to answer questions and help you get in, you know, put you in the right direction. That was extremely helpful. I would suggest it's like any other learning journey in life. You've just got to have that persistence. You've just got to show some grit. Grit's probably one of my favorite words. It's not easy, but nothing easy is worth doing, right? Like, you just have to persist and don't be afraid to reach out. So I have people all the time reach out to me through LinkedIn and Twitter. I always try and take some time and point them in the right direction or share a resource or answer a question, whatever the case may be. And through the Trailblazer community as well, you know, again, through the social media channels, there are a lot of people out there that would be willing to help. And once you see some small wins and gain some momentum, you won't look back.
Yeah, and I like that you were talking about all the different training you can do. Like, one of them that actually, because I've started, like I said, I've started recently diving into CRMA, and I knew it was powerful. It wasn't until I started doing all this training that I realized just how much you can do with CRMA versus, you know, your traditional Salesforce reports and dashboards. Like, not only just the, you know, how many objects you can see in one view, and then you have all the actions you can do off of them right now. It's just, you know, and it's really blowing me away. And one of them that I now follow on YouTube is actually your channel, Coffeelytics. It's a great one. I recommend that for everybody who's diving into CRMA.
Thank you.
And Mark, I think we've got to retrace our steps here, but I'm pretty sure back in 2017, if we're talking about these boot camps, it might've been Trailhead DX or Trailhead X back then. Might've been the first time they rebranded it potentially, but I took our whole team at the bank out there back then, and we all might've been in the same basement conference center doing all of our training for 3 days. Elliot was with me. That was a fun couple of days.
Yes, it was.
But Mark, can you tell us a little bit more about your initial experience with FFC and some of the successes you've had in general with financial services clients you've been working with? And I also want to kind of go back to that initial project you mentioned where you did Financial Services Cloud for the first time, because that was back at the very, very beginning. And there was a lot of learnings, I think, back then from our experience. So I'm sure you probably have some great stories, but would love to hear more about some of your financial services experience and successes you've seen with those clients.
Yeah, that was an incredible journey. Again, the product was very new and a bit rough around the edges, if I were to put it that way. So there was a lot of feedback that we were sharing with the product team. And we began with the out-of-the-box apps that you get with Financial Services Cloud, which were far less well-developed back then than they are now. But the interesting aspect was that, you know, we had quite heavily customized our environment, and we were really trying to get some, I say advanced, but just trying to reflect our business process and environment, really trying to get insights from all that rich data that we were collecting. You know, I don't think anyone purchases Salesforce or Financial Services Cloud and says, I just can't wait to go into that opportunity or household view and enter data. I think that the vision of most organizations, particularly leadership, is being able to get insights that help you make smart decisions and grow your business and look after your customers, and then also improving efficiency and productivity through the platform, through process automation. So those are the two areas where we were able to get a lot of return on investment. From an analytics perspective, you know, I'll tell you one story where we got a huge return on our investment. And that was in the area of just building our business in terms of lead generation and therefore growing our pipeline. So we were investing in events, and we invested a lot of money in events. We worked with high net wealth individuals in the medical space. So we would host events in hospitals and similar environments. We really had no insight as a business into the quality of those leads. We understood the quantity, but not the quality. So I actually sat down really off my own volition and wanted to understand that better. And I built, it wasn't even a dashboard. It was just one chart or one lens, as we call it in CRM analytics. And it was what I call a lead conversion matrix. So in the x-axis, you had the lead source, which in our case was all these different types of events. And then on the y-axis, that represented your lead conversion percentage. Now, because it's CRMA, we could actually go all the way through to not just if a lead converted to an opportunity, but how far along did it get in that opportunity stage or the sales process? If it resulted in revenue, how much revenue, et cetera. And on that chart, we had the conversion, but we also had the size of the bubble, if you can imagine. That represented how many leads were coming from a lead source. And that generally reflected our investment in that lead source. So we had these events. And what I realized was there were areas that we were hosting events in the big city that were very saturated. There are a lot of competitors. So we had a high volume of leads, but a very low conversion rate because many other similar organizations had those same leads. But then we had a few events that we had hosted in regional areas, far less saturated. We only had a small number of leads, but the conversion rate was triple. And no one had really seen this before. No one really understood that. And I got up in a leadership meeting and I just shared on the big screen this lens in CRM Analytics, and it stopped the whole meeting. The managing director of the company got out of his chair, went up to the screen and just clarified, saying, so we're investing all this money in these events. We're only seeing a very low conversion. We're not investing a lot of money in these regional events where there's very high conversion. We agreed, yes, that's what's taken place. Had an amazing discussion. And there was a shift of marketing investment into those regional events. And that was a significant factor that resulted in a doubling of their business in the next 12 months. It wasn't the only factor, but it was a very significant factor in that. Another example of the power of analytics in a financial services environment is around process optimization. And we were able to analyze the details of processes. In this case, I think it was a superannuation rollover. Superannuation is quite similar to your 401k, and individuals will move that investment from one fund to another. It's quite involved. That process was taking 4 weeks. No one can understand why is it taking that long. We were capturing all that information in Financial Services Cloud. We didn't have insight into it. So we built a CRM Analytics dashboard around our service delivery, and we were able to identify there was one very simple task where an advisor had to approve the rollover that was taking a week because the advisor was missing that notification. So we tweaked that process and immediately went from a 4 week to a 3 week process across the business. Never would have seen that result without those insights. The third use case is around compliance. We were able to move from a rearward looking reactive approach to compliance to a forward looking proactive approach to compliance. We were able to recognize, for example, in a wealth context, that there were customers that needed a review of advice, that they were getting close to that deadline from a compliance perspective, but we hadn't yet booked them in for that review advice. Sounds really simple, but it was getting missed all the time, even though the data was right there in Salesforce. So building that analytics layer on top of the functional and the process layer made a huge impact to the business. And there are similar use cases, for example, in banking, in insurance. I've worked with insurance companies and seen great returns on in the area of compliance and also fraud detection and remediation. So tons of potential.
I think all those are great use cases. And I also will call out what we're seeing is right now is especially in the United States around deposit management and deposit outflows for commercial banking and business banking. And you called out a couple of things there around tracking leads, but all the way through from lead opportunity to what have we booked and how has that account or client been trending. So for what we're dealing with right now, it's how quickly can I start to monitor and manage if my business clients are starting to move money out of the bank and at what pace? Is it a normal part of business where this money's moving around, or is this a bigger event we need to be monitoring or paying closer attention to? And not only that, but if we're starting to see trends, how do we then be proactive about it, similar to some of your compliance use cases? So I think we've got a laundry list of things people could be thinking about, but I do think to some of the earlier questions about the fear of like, well, I don't know how to use it yet, so maybe I can't solve it with that problem. And I think it's probably going to be one of the hottest things we are doing the next 3 to 6 months is trying to implement some of these use cases with CRMA, because it can be so agile and it can drive such great proactive activities as well as reactive activities.
It's also worth keeping in mind that it's relatively easy to produce app templates in CRM Analytics, produce them yourself. So what an organization like yours can do, if you're able to successfully solve some of these common denominator problems that exist, you know, across the board, instead of having to completely rebuild that from scratch for every customer who's using the Financial Services Cloud data model, you can actually take what you have built, create a CRM Analytics template, which you then deploy and modify for each customer. And that can turn a project like this from potentially several hundred hours into a couple of weeks, right? So it's fast time to value, lower cost, you know, it's scalable. So that's also worth keeping in mind.
So switching gears a bit here, Mark, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you're a well-known writer, very experienced writer and speaker. You've spoken about, you know, over 10 different countries, but you also recently released a new book. So you had your I'm going to call it a CRMA book because the name has switched a few times, but now you have your new book, Redefine, Reinvent, and Rise. So can you tell us and the listeners a little bit about the book and what inspired you to tell your story and, you know, how people can get it?
Yeah, this is an area that I'm super passionate about. I spent 20 years of my life coaching and trying to help people and inspire them. And in my new career, in the new direction that my life has taken, I still have that desire to, I guess, to be a stepping stone for others to grow and to learn and succeed. I had told my story many times at different events like World Tour, and different trailblazer groups, through different blog posts and many different interviews throughout the last 7 years. But what I wanted to do was put that story into a format where it was easily accessible. And that's where I came up with the idea of just putting it on Amazon. And it's not terribly long compared to some of the other books that I've written. I published a book on depression a few years ago. I think that was 55,000 words. That was a huge project. And then the book on CRM Analytics, which was another very significant undertaking. But this book here, really a labor of love, and just hoping that people that read it will be encouraged on their journey. The older I get, the more I realize that everyone has a story. No one has a perfect life. Everyone has struggles and battles and faces obstacles and endures failure and suffering and pain. You know, I tell the story in my book of how I was right on the edge mentally and emotionally in my mid-40s. I had undiagnosed and untreated major depressive disorder and ADHD, and wasn't sleeping, wasn't doing very well at all. And then within the space of a few months, my wife had a cancer scare. My son was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome or autism. We suffered a huge financial blow, and then I got really sick and lost my voice and the ability to speak for 4 months, which meant that I couldn't do my work for 4 months because it was all about speaking. And that really pushed me over the edge, and that's when I had the breakdown and really honestly fell to pieces. And the older I get, the more stories I hear. Sometimes it is people in around that midlife time. Sometimes it's people much younger. Sometimes you have people that have been in the military and are struggling with PTSD. I have a very dear friend, David Scott Nava, was in the military for 20 years, had built his life around it. When he left that, what do you do? And he's got an amazing story about how he's built a whole new career and helps a lot of other veterans. Yeah, again, everyone has a story to tell. We're not necessarily public about our struggles. I'm a little bit unusual, I suppose, in that respect. But, you know, if I can encourage someone, if I can pick someone up, help someone on their journey, great. It gives me a lot of joy. And hopefully, you know, hopefully when my time is up and I'm done with life, hopefully I've left the world a better place.
I would say you certainly have. And it's an incredible story, and we really appreciate you sharing it. And for anybody out there, I definitely recommend the book. I personally really loved chapter 6 around the persistence, because that's something that, you know, I think is especially important to me. And I think everybody out there, you know, the power of persistence is, you know, what the chapter is and what it's all about. But the entire book is incredible, and it's a great story. And yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And speaking of stories, Mark, I know everyone in Salesforce, or at least in the ecosystem, has seen or heard about the Golden Hoodie, especially if you've been to Dreamforce or some of the major conferences. So you've been honored with the Golden Hoodie. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where it happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually one of the very early recipients of the Gold Hoodie. When I received the Gold Hoodie in 2017, I'm pretty sure I was the first recipient outside of the United States, certainly the first in all of APAC. And, you know, since then, there's been many wonderful people have received that honor. I think the first person was Zach Otero. He's a dear friend, and he's an incredible trailblazer. I get asked very often, how did you get the Gold Hoodie? Sometimes people will ask me, how can they get a Gold Hoodie? I often say, you know, if you want to get a Gold Hoodie and you're seeking a Gold Hoodie, you're probably not the person that should get a Gold Hoodie. And the reason I say that is it really is awarded to people that give back to the ecosystem. It's quite different to an MVP. A lot of people actually get Salesforce MVP and Gold Hoodie confused. The MVP is about giving back, but it's also to recognize great expertise on the platform. And the Gold Hoodie isn't quite as much about expertise. The two words that were used when it was explained to me as I received it were inspiration and innovation. So if you display leadership and you inspire others to do more and to build with the platform, and then when you use the platform in inventive, creative ways, and you use it in a way that really impacts your life and the life of others. So I was at Salesforce World Tour in Sydney in 2017. I was asked to tell my story of moving careers and the mental health challenges and the kind of life reinvention, as it were. And what I didn't realize was that someone was walking up behind me on stage with a gold jacket. And that was pretty exciting. I actually don't think I realized at the time quite how big a deal that was, because I was very new to the ecosystem then, less than 12 months. So, I love telling the story, and I'm very honored and very grateful to be in the company of a group of pretty cool trailblazers.
That's awesome. I appreciate you telling the story and also the distinction between the Gold Hoodie and an MVP, because I do think a lot of people probably assume that they're one and the same. So I appreciate the distinction, and congratulations, by the way. It's a very cool story, and I'm sure it was a fun event to be at to see your reaction.
Absolutely.
So Mark, with your transition onto the platform in 2016, obviously it's a lot different for people coming on now, because there's just, you know, with every month, there's more and more resources out there for people to get, you know, up to speed and train themselves on Trailhead. But what is one piece of advice you would give to anyone new coming into the Salesforce ecosystem as an admin, or even if it's somebody new coming in and being like, you know what, I'm going to start using CRMA. But what's one piece of advice that you think is super important for people to know?
I'm going to answer that with a bit of a mini story. So I was about 2 months into my journey. I was consumed with imposter syndrome. I was unbelievably overwhelmed. And I remember, I was working very long hours. I was getting to the office at 6 or 7 a.m. I was opening up the office. I was closing the office when I left, because I had to both learn and build. And it was dark. I was driving to the office. It was about 5:45 in the morning. And I had this thought. I said, you know what? I can't do this. I'm going to talk to my boss and say, look, you need to find someone qualified. I didn't have any certs then, by the way, so I felt very, very inadequate. I said, go get a qualified consultant. I know they're, you know, they might be hard to find or might be out of budget. I don't know, but I can't do this. I'm not qualified. I don't have an IT degree or background. I'm wasting your time and money. And I had that in my head that I was going to say that. And I got to the office 6:30 in the morning, opened up, went in, turned on the lights, sat at my desk. So on the wall of my office, there was a quote from Richard Branson. And it said, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity, say yes, then figure out how to do it. And I just reminded myself, I thought, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And I thought, just go another day, just try another process, build something else, learn something. And I just refused to give up. It was tough. I was stressed. I was tired. I felt, again, very overwhelmed. You know, I've been in this journey now 7 years. I'm a solution engineer at Tableau. I still wrestle with imposter syndrome. I think if you never do, you're probably not growing because you're not out of your comfort zone, right? So that's what I would just say. Just try. Just go another day. Just keep pressing and persisting. If you need to pivot, then pivot. I mean, I pivoted from a Salesforce platform emphasis to an analytics emphasis. That's fine, but don't give up.
No, I love that. I love how you mentioned imposter syndrome, because 100%, if you didn't say it, I was going to say it anyways here. Like, I still experience that. I mean, because it's, the platform is huge and you run into situations all the time where you like, where do I start? And, you know, I usually do the same thing everybody else does when they don't, when they aren't sure. I'm going to go ask somebody that I know has the answer, or I'm just going to Google it and find a resource that can train me on it real quick and, you know, give me an overview. But yeah, if you don't experience imposter syndrome, even those that have been on the platform for 20 years are going to experience it every now and then, because it's, they're going to run into something they don't know about and they have to figure it out. But that's what we all do. I mean, we have to, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's persistence. You just got to move forward, find, you know, one foot in front of the other and figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's not always just the technology either. It's sometimes unique business problems, as we've all experienced the last 3 or 4 years. We've all kind of run into some unique situations that no one else had up until this point. So it definitely goes back to the conversation around the hard and soft skills of doing these types of roles.
Yeah, look, honestly, I think one of the most challenging aspects for me was just understanding and mapping out business processes. I didn't come from a financial services background, and that was extremely challenging. And that may be the case with someone listening to this podcast. You know, they're challenged with building out Salesforce or one of the products for a business they don't really understand. And that can be super challenging. You just have to plug away. You just have to, you know, get really good at asking questions, I would say.
All right, Mark, last question. We like to ask all of our guests to share a fun fact about yourself that not many people know. It can either be an accomplishment, a talent, a fun, or almost unbelievable story.
Yeah, it always surprises people when I tell them this one. So in 1994, when I lived in the United States, I traveled across the country, beginning at Chicago, all the way across to California, up into Canada, down into Mexico, with a singing group. And we sang in 47 churches in 7 weeks across 16 states. kind of the experience of a lifetime. And I feel very spoiled in that I've seen more of America than most Americans have. I think I've been in 43 states singing and speaking, and also for my new work. I'm very lucky in that respect.
So that, I mean, we have a lot of really good stories that people have told us on this, but that's definitely up there. That's a pretty remarkable story there. You know, being like you said, I mean, you've definitely been in more states than I have. That's for sure. I don't know how many I've been in, but it's not 43. That's pretty incredible. That's awesome. I don't know. JP intercepted a Super Bowl winning quarterback, so his is up there too. He is a nice one. I don't. But no, that's pretty incredible. So, Mark, we do appreciate you taking the time out of your Monday morning and joining us on the podcast. How can our listeners find you on social media and give you a follow and follow your story and your Salesforce journey?
Yeah. So I'm very active on LinkedIn. Just search for my name. Somewhat active on Twitter as well. And then on YouTube, my new channel, which I've just launched a few weeks ago and just building out now, is Coffeelytics. And I think we'll probably, I guess, share links to these in the content. There's my book on Amazon. Oh, actually, the two books, CM Analytics and the Life Reinvention book. But there's also my blog site, which is just marktossel.com, 2 S's and 2 L's. Tons of content on there, both technical and then also more along the lines of inspirational and career ideas. I get asked a lot about tips for dashboard design and building. And so there's also a few posts on there regarding that, tons of different content. And look, guys, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
No, it's awesome. It's been a great episode. We think everybody's really going to enjoy it. I highly recommend the book, Redefine, Reinvent, Rise. We will share the link to that, as well as the YouTube channel, Coffeelytics. I'm following that already. So it's a lot of great content for anybody out there looking to learn more about CRMA. But everyone, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. To learn more about Silverline, you can subscribe to the Silverline blog at silverlinecrm.com or follow on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook at SilverlineCRM. That's SilverlineCRM, one word. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode.